Media app.
CBS News.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. President Trump said today that he believes an end to the war in Ukraine is in sight.
I really believe that he wants to make a deal. Maybe wrong, but I believe he wants to make a deal.
But Russian President Putin said today he hasn't discussed Ukraine in detail with Trump. Trump was hosting French President Macron at the White House here through an interpreter.
This peace must not mean a surrender of Ukraine. It must not mean a ceasefire without guarantees.
Many other European leaders were in Ukraine today, marking 3 years since Russia's invasion and promising to continue supporting Ukraine. Trump is defending the email to federal workers that advised them to report their work progress over the past week or risk losing their jobs.
I think everyone thought it was a pretty ingenious idea. We have to find out where these people are. Who are they? And we said, if you don't respond, we assume you're not around.
The Office of Personnel Management, which sent the email, now says it's up to each agency to decide how to handle it. CBS's Finn Gomez.
The Trump administration is walking it back a little bit, saying that there was a call between OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, and department leaders, saying essentially that it's up to the agency heads to decide how to implement this Musk rule, if you will. And that it also doesn't necessarily mean that anyone needs to resign afterwards.
Many agencies have already told their employees they don't need to comply. National Park Service workers who have been fired say they will be missed.
No one's going to be there to pick up the trash. I mean, you'd be amazed with how many just diapers I pick up off the side of the road, beer bottles, toilet paper, all the stuff that you don't have to see. You get to see the park in its true natural beauty.
And Alexander Tin says some FDA workers are being rehired.
Multiple officials tell CBS News that the Trump administration is now walking back at least some of the workers they fired, calling them back to the job and restoring their access to email and other FDA systems.
Many of them were responsible for reviewing medical devices. Her voice was unmistakable.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Roberta Flack has died. Her hits included Killing Me Softly with His Song and The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, Anthony DeCurtis of Rolling Stone.
Roberta Flack helped define a certain sound in the 70s. That has retained an adult audience. You know, it was a kind of very sophisticated soul music.
Clint Hill, the Secret Service agent who threw himself onto President John F. Kennedy's limo after the president was shot, has died at the age of 93. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. President Trump said today there could soon be a deal to end the fighting in Ukraine.
It's time to end this bloodletting and restore peace, and I think we're going to do it.
He was hosting the French president at the White House. At the UN, the U.S. split from European allies by refusing to blame Russia for its invasion and votes on 3 resolutions. The Office of Personnel Management, which sent the email telling federal workers to report what they'd accomplished over the past week, is now telling federal agency heads they can decide for themselves if their workers should comply. There are prayer services for the Pope at St. Peter's Square. Chris Livesay has the latest update.
The Vatican says Pope Francis's condition has slightly improved, and the kidney issue discovered over the weekend is not a cause for concern.
The Pope is still in critical condition. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a stray sprinkle or shower, and a low in the upper 20s. Partly sunny and staying mild for tomorrow, high mid-40s. Another rain chance Tuesday night and Wednesday. Temps will stay much above average through the rest of the week. Currently 49 degrees.
on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield. This is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
We welcome you into the Greg Gard Show. Quick turnaround from the last show to this week. Badgers getting ready for the Washington Huskies on Tuesday night. Late night start, 8 o'clock at the Kohl Center, and then on the road Sunday afternoon against the Michigan State Spartans. The Badgers have again taken on the Huskies. First meeting since the mid-60s, something like that, between the two programs. It has been a minute. Badgers 21-6 overall, 11-5 in the Big Ten. A tough one against a very talented Oregon team on Saturday afternoon. Greg, I'm always asked every year from fans, like, what was that plane ride like after a big win, a tough loss? Or what is practice like after a big win, a tough loss? And my answer as an observer is, you probably wouldn't tell the difference. Now, after, you know, if there's a big win on the road, you might have a little more laughter on a plane or on a bus. But in the years I've been around you guys, if you walked into a practice today, you wouldn't know what happened Saturday. I think that's just the even-keeled nature of how you have to
be. You try to be, and it's hard to be. You know, it's much harder to swallow and get a loss out of your system than it is move on from the last win. But as I've kind of said here in the last 48 hours, you know, we didn't call for a parade last Saturday when we won at Purdue. We're not going to call for a funeral after we have a very poor last 5 minutes and lose to, as you mentioned, a good Oregon team. Let's not forget they beat Alabama, Texas A&M, San Diego State, had Michigan State down 14 at Michigan State. You know, it's a team that hit a five-game rough skid, but had Purdue, Michigan State in that five-game window, and very good players, and we didn't perform how we needed to close the game out. But you learn from it. And you quickly move on. Sometimes, as hard as it is, players are younger. People are usually more resilient and move on faster than us old people do. But that's important. You got to make sure you move on, but you got to take the lessons from it. You can't pretend like it didn't happen. And if you use it right, it'll definitely help you down the road.
And you would think that's among the strengths of this team too, Greg. You've got a mature group, and that's not just the seniors. It could even be a sophomore like a John Blackwell. Yeah, you're going to let it sting for a little bit, but then it's like, look, you got to move on because that next game is right
up. Yeah, and you, like I said, good, bad, or indifferent. Like I said, we review every film the same. We critique it the same, and some gets obviously harsher reviews than others, but it doesn't change in our process of evaluating the film, what our next day process is, learning from it. Like I said, whether we did things really well, and there were some, you have a 15, 17 point lead, you're obviously doing a lot of good things well, and then how quickly it can get away from you when you don't continue to do those things and you make some very uncorrect characteristic decisions, and you let a team, give a team life, give a team hope. And like I said, for us, we got to use that to A, it doesn't happen again, but B, when you're in those situations, how can you respond better? And the bottom line is, we lost our aggressiveness. I didn't think we were, not that we needed to go hog wild in attacking, but we had so many more plays at the rim in the first half that we didn't have in the back half of the second half, as you break down the film and you say, well, why was that? You don't shoot any free throws. There's a great indicator. You have way more turnovers than you've ever had really most of the year. You turn it over when you become hesitant, indecisive, passive, everything but aggressive. And we don't want to get out of control, reckless, aggressive, but our ability to continue to handle the pressure and put pressure back on them waned specifically in that last 8 minutes. And that's what we can't let happen.
And is it fair to say a lot of those turnovers? I mean, obviously Oregon tried to do some different things. They got big guards that could get physical, but a lot of self-inflicted there too.
Mostly self-inflicted, all self-inflicted. I mean, what the pressure did, it really kind of ramped up at the 6 minute mark, and having gone through the film three times, what it did to us is it forced us to get a little more panicky and scattered. And when we would break the pressure, we'd stop and let them reset reset instead of putting pressure right on the rim. Now, we did it a couple times. McGee got to the rim for a layup against pressure and broke loose, and we needed to continually keep coming with that type of thrust. And we took some bad shots. We drove into two jump walls. Xavier Amos drove into one. Kamari drove into another one that Biddle jump walled and blocked the shot. And those were, you know, there was a couple shots we shouldn't have taken, but we also turned down some open shots too, where we became, again, passive, hesitant, whatever the, you know, said we were playing like we were hoping the clock was going to run out before they caught us. And we haven't played like that all year for the most part. So it's a good, like I said, you got to take that lesson. And I told the team, I said, hey, you were going to be in the NCAA tournament here in a month. And you were a top 10, top 12 team prior to 11 o'clock Saturday. You're still there. You're still the same really good team. We had a bad 5 minutes. And I said, me included, we all stunk the last 5 minutes. But we're going to be in the tournament here in a month. And people always ask me, how do you advance in the tournament? Don't have a bad segment, because there's so much parity that if you have a bad 7, 8, 4 minutes, you think of all the games that I think of. Virginia Furman is the game that came to mind 2 years ago, where Virginia had it salted away and got tentative and started throwing the ball away, and Furman gets a little momentum, and next thing you know, there's a shot to win it. And it's just how quickly it can turn on you if you have a bad segment. And we're going to get to a point here in, like I said, 3-4 weeks where can't afford bad segments. So keep that aggressive mindset and keep attacking.
It's like the perfect storm, because even after Jackson Shellstad hit the shot at the end of, well, there were like 12, 13 seconds left in regulation, it looked like Max had a pretty good look there.
He did. And I, you know, I had a timeout there to use, and I got asked about that after the game. Why didn't you take it? Because I watched them come in transition. They were not set. And knowing the team, that the defensive concepts they have, if I take a timeout, allow them to reconvene, they come zone, they come trap, they've trapped a lot of ball screens throughout the year, and if we get in trouble and we can't inbound the ball and we can't get out of a trap somewhere, we don't have another timeout, because that would have been it. The other thing is they had a foul to give. So it allows them to go reconvene just like we would have if somebody's going to take a timeout on us. Okay, remember, we have a foul to give. We're going to use it at such and such a time. So I felt as long as we were making some momentum, the floor was kind of scattered, we were going to have to make that type of play anyway. And it just felt, with it being tied, Max was getting to where he's made that shot from before, and all the other factors of foul to give, okay, changing defenses. If we were having a hard enough time getting the ball inbounds as it was, we don't need to have another turnover and not have a timeout. So I said, you know, players, put it in the players' hands, let them make the decision. If it was going to go completely awry, I would have taken it, but I felt we had enough of an advantage given what we would have given up by taking it to let Max roll with it.
Yeah, nobody asked you about taking a timeout a couple of years ago in the Purdue game for that.
True.
How it works out.
Yeah.
So
it's
different team, different time.
Yeah. But if it goes in, nobody's a great job of not taking the timeout. Let them reset the defense.
The best timeouts are the ones you don't call. Yeah. You guys, you mentioned, you know, the last few minutes, but there was so much good. I don't know how many teams are going to get 15 fast break points and a half against Oregon, because they can get back defensively. Yeah. You guys were really doing a great job of getting the ball up the floor. Stevie was getting a lot of points early in the game.
Right.
You were doing a lot of good things during this game.
Yeah, we were, and that's what we needed to keep doing. You know, we got 3 fouls on Biddle in the first half. Well, we get none on him in the second half. Yeah. We just, our aggressiveness waned specifically. Like I said, when you shoot no free throws in a half, that's, I don't know if that's ever happened. Definitely not this year, and 6 is a season low, I think, or close to it. But, you know, just, and we didn't, it wasn't like we were going there and getting fouled and they weren't calling it. We just did not put pressure on the rim. Just the baskets at the rim, you count them first half versus second half, and then, like I said, the last 8 possessions, if there were 7 things we could have done wrong, we did 8. You know, it just everything that could go wrong did.
What's the latest example of the competitive nature of this league? I mean, you guys are, you're competing for a championship. Oregon is competing to get the resume better and better. You mentioned the good wins that they had earlier in the season. So they had a lot on the table as well. And just with this league, We'll get into this a little bit more with Washington coming in. No matter where you are in the standings, that doesn't define you as bad, right?
No. I mean, just look at we talked about on the TV show. You know, Oregon had Michigan State down 14 at half. It was 50-36. And if you look at Michigan State's first half and compare it to our second half, the exact same thing. Yeah. Michigan State turned the ball over a bunch, got a lot of pick sixes, runouts. Oregon was banging threes. Michigan State looked like they weren't sure which planet they were on. They had 20 minutes to get it turned around.
Yeah.
We happened to do that the wrong part of the game, where we didn't have time to turn it around and catch ourselves. So, but you go through the league. I mean, you know, Minnesota beats Michigan at home. Penn State beats Purdue. You know, they're just been – we can go across the – Michigan State loses to Indiana. You know, just across the – Michigan State goes west and loses both. I mean, it's just – there's so many examples here of – there's no bad teams in this league. And if you – like much like the NCAA tournament would be, if you have a – if you have a feel sorry, bad for yourself, 5-6 minutes, it'll be sayonara.
Yeah, you're packing to go home and stay home. We'll take a break. The Washington Huskies are in town Tuesday night, 8 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center. Later on, we'll check in with sophomore Nolan Winter. We'll also hear from Brian Butch as well. More of the Greg Gard Show coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Hurry into Menards and save big money on your bathroom refresh. Max has a great selection of showers, tubs, and surrounds. Max's Utah shower kits combine luxury with practicality. They have a sleek design and make installation simple. Save big money on Max showers. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance, from the volleyball court to the hockey rink. Every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. Inside humor, this is take two of this as we record this, because I was going to say back with head coach Dick Bennett, who we saw on Saturday, and I know we talked about the Final Four reunion last week, and a lot of those guys were back, players and coaches from that magical run 25 years ago, but to see to see Coach Bennett, his wife Ann, his daughter Kathy was here, and you know, guys like Mike Kelly, who's at a lot of the games anyway, Kowski, Roy Boone, so on and so forth. Pretty cool. And Kirk Petty, a part of that. So he got to be introduced as part of that Final
First one
team.
He's made, because he's usually out of the, not in the U.S. when different events like that go on. But, yeah, no, it was neat just to obviously to see Coach. I haven't seen Coach Bennett in a few months. So to see him and obviously chat with him a little bit and then see all the guys. And they were, you know, they were here Friday for practice, some of them. And then obviously joined, the rest of them joined him on Saturday. But had him at practice and then up in the office afterwards. Just reminiscing the stories that started to flow, and just you know, 25 years, long time ago, but it doesn't seem like that long ago. But those guys just, they really appreciated being back, appreciated seeing each other, because I think some of them stay in touch, but they are obviously in different parts of the country. But have them back and have, you know, Coach here too, and the other staff members. And it's like most reunions, you know, you start talking, telling stories, and some are true, some are not. The perceptions change over the years. But I think, you know, they really enjoyed their time, and it's great to be able to, because they're important partners. I told the current team, I said, hey, this is the group, because all those, all of our current players weren't alive when that 2000 run happened. This is the group that broke down the wall and theory that you can't win at Wisconsin in March. And this is the group that broke that barrier down. So it doesn't guarantee it for future, but it shows that you can do it here at Wisconsin. And like I said, our current players enjoyed having them around, and I'll have to Google and find the YouTube videos of them. And but I know those guys really enjoyed their time here and are very appreciative.
I know we mentioned this when you and I were doing your pregame show Saturday. And it's true. If it's Coach Bennett, if it's Coach Ryan, I'm sure guys with you now, as they gather years later, some of those moments, practice, locker room, game or whatever, that in the moment were less than fun, it's like they can laugh about it. And they probably learned a little something from it too that helps them.
Yeah.
Today.
And you know, the lessons learned, and you know, quite frankly, all the stories that got, whether they were embellished or not, none of them were about a game. They were all about something else. And some of them were halftime speeches. Some of them were in-game huddles, the things that were said and what went on and reactions. You know, and you'd be surprised how many people, we should have a lot of former players go into comedy because they could do imitations of their former coaches. So guys that would imitate Coach Bennett and how he would talk and what he would say, and had him down to a T, like really good. And I know some of our guys of the past can imitate Bo pretty well. And I've even caught wind that a couple of them have tried to imitate me over the course of years. So it's, hey, that's all, let them have fun at my expense and our expense. But it's, if you think they're not listening, they are, because the stories come out and pretty much verbatim of what you said, or at least what they think you said, comes back out decades later.
Yeah, no, it's fun to see those guys. And I know if fans, you think about where you were in a certain moment, but as we've talked about many times, when guys get together, it is, as you just mentioned here today again, it could be about something that has nothing to do with a specific game. But it was great to see all those guys. By the way, Dick Bennett, I think he wants to get out on the golf course here this summer. So we'll arrange that here. So I know he gets to play with some of his old players. They come back from time to time, and they'll make the trip up to his palatial home here in Wisconsin. But it's again, really a lot of good memories seeing those guys, and they all root very hard for this year's team. And,
they do, they do. They all you know, they enjoy watching these guys play and understand. I think that as a former player, you have great perspective of the journey that our current players are on, because you were once there. And I think in, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, but hindsight is always more appreciative of what you had and the experiences you got. And those older guys are always quick to remind our current guys, hey, you know, enjoy this, because this is really good. You're going to cherish these memories forever. And you hear that, you know, I heard it all the time when I was a kid, you know, to 18 to 25, even before that, you know, these are the good days and enjoy these experiences. They won't last forever. The memories you'll take from this, and it's all true. You just don't always let it soak in when you're that age. And so it's always good to get a little sagely advice from the former players.
And it does fly by. If you're here 1 year or 5 years or whatever it is, it tends to go very, very quickly. Tomorrow night, you got the Washington Huskies in here. I know we were talking off air. I'm thinking this is as we record this, the last place team in the Big Ten, you look at them and you're thinking they don't look like a last place team in the Big Ten. They got some guys who are shooting the lights out of the ball. Most people, I think even casual fans, have some familiarity now with the name Great Osabor, the things he can do. I gave you my layman's thumbnail sketch. As you dig into them, what are you seeing with this
one? Yeah, a lot of really good players that – you know, you never know why it doesn't quite come together. Obviously, it's Dan Sprinkle's first year, so he's trying to establish his culture and what he did at Utah State and what he did at Montana State prior to that. Obviously, he was on a fast track because he had some really, really good teams, had done an awesome job, and really a down-to-earth, really good guy. But you can see the pieces, starting with the point guards. If it's Zoom Diallo, just how he can get downhill. And the guards you mentioned about guys that are shooting, whether it's Makai Mason, Harris or Davis. DJ Davis, who was at Butler a year ago, just green light, quick trigger, can shoot it from deep. And then obviously you talk about Great Osabor. You know, he's a load inside. It's 6'8", wide body, really skilled, has a good feel. And I had to watch first because I hadn't studied. Obviously, here we are in late February before we play him. I thought when I first watched the first tape, he was left-handed. Mm-hmm. And then as I watch him more, because he's so comfortable going to his left and really smooth with either hand. And then you got, Frank Kepchang, Wilhelm Breidenbach, who was at Nebraska prior. So they have other, good pieces and just have been very competitive, just haven't maybe gotten over the hump in certain games. So and they mix defenses too, a little 1-3-1 half-court trap that we haven't seen really all year. So just different things. And again, it's an unfamiliar, we can tell you about Purdue, right? We can tell you about Illinois. We know the lineage and the how they play, what their programs. We're going in here much like we did a little bit more with Oregon because we had played them before. But with so many new faces, and this is probably the case everywhere, so many in the transit nature of your rosters, you're learning on the fly, and we'll learn as the game goes on. As much as we watch film, we'll learn as the game goes on Tuesday because it's a team that you don't have, a lot of prior knowledge about.
The thing too with this new Big Ten, and we saw with Oregon, which will be in the Big Ten tournament, but it's still trying to get that resume as strong as it can, so it's not going to be left out on Selection Sunday. And I would think the Ducks are on a good path certainly to get in, but with only 15 of the 18 teams qualifying for the conference tournament, maybe before, if everybody's in, Washington views this game differently, but this is a huge, huge game for them. Yeah. They're trying to climb out of that hole and be one of the 15.
Yeah, and that's the dogfight those teams that are in that position are in as we come down the stretch here in the last 2-3 weeks of trying to get, at least to 15. And that's the thing, just the competitive nature of this league. It's been, one dogfight after another, regardless of where you are in the standings, regardless of who's playing who. It's they rarely come easy. And obviously you don't have to watch them long to see that there's some talent there. And then watch the games. And they've been very close or had leads that got away. So, like I said, we'll have all we can handle. And like I said, have to learn a lot on the fly because we're going in with not a lot of firsthand, eyeball-to-eyeball knowledge.
The competitive nature of this league, not necessarily who's in first, fifth, 12th, whatever, nothing specific like that, but just the general competitiveness of this league. It's pretty much what you expected.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing, and talking to the coaches, the West Coast coaches, whether it's been Cronin or Dana Altman or even Eric Musselman, about it, just I think what they've gathered from this is that regardless of where you go, you're going to be in for a dogfight. It's just the regular season means a lot to the Big Ten. And how teams approach it, how competitive it is. You're really fighting for a championship. You're fighting to finish as high as possible. And you have, environments you have to go into that aren't, they play in a lot of cavernous environments in the old Pac-12 where you maybe get a crowd here or there, Arizona, maybe at UCLA, maybe when Oregon is really good. But here, night in and night out, you're going to play in a pretty vocal, hostile environment or hopefully a friendly environment if you're at home.
All right. Badgers and Washington coming up on Tuesday. Friendly confines of the Kohl Center, 8 o'clock tip on Tuesday night. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with Nolan Winter as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones, runs it,
Vasilevsky with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Conexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
Got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In Company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In a few minutes, we'll check in with my broadcast partner, Brian Butch, as the Badgers get ready for Tuesday's matchup against the Washington Huskies. Right now, though, we hear from sophomore Nolan Winter, whose minutes have more than doubled from a year ago, whose scoring has quadrupled from a year ago. And make no mistake, he showed a lot of promise in his freshman season. But now as a sophomore, he is emerging as a very talented player and a key part of this Wisconsin Badgers team as it goes for win number 22 overall and win number 12 in Big Ten play. On Tuesday night, Winter averaging 10 points a game, 5.5 rebounds. He has shown he can hit the three. He's 37% from the arc and in the moment hit a big three in overtime against Oregon. Of course, the game didn't turn out the way the Badgers would have wanted,
But Nolan Winter has proven that he is not afraid of the big moment for the Wisconsin Badgers. And we talked to him about the game specifically last Tuesday against Illinois, where the Badgers had to change up on the fly. They were preparing for a bigger Illinois starting lineup, specifically Tomislav Ivicic, who's been battling illness, was listed as questionable for the game, which surprised a few people, and then didn't start. He did play, but we asked Nolan about how the team adjusted to a lineup change at the last minute.
Yeah, a lot of that credit goes to Coach Krabbenhoff and Coach Gard as our kind of main scout people of Illinois. Going through practice that week, we didn't really know what was going to be thrown at us. We knew that they had some injuries and some illnesses going through them. So we really did prepare for everything and everything. And when it came to game time and we got in the locker room, we saw some names were kind of changed around. It didn't scare us too much knowing that we've prepared for this. And, you know, we're just going to go out there, play our game. We know we got 5, 10, 15 dudes, whatever it is, that they're going to go out there and play the hardest that they can, and they're going to execute to what we've been working on all week in practice. So obviously it was a little different knowing that, you know, Ivicic wasn't in there and he was their big man. So just trusting what we've worked on in practice was the biggest thing, and credit to the coaches for sure.
With the way you guys are playing, obviously you're getting more and more attention. A lot of sports fans start to pay more attention now anyway with March Madness approaching, but with all of this, how do you guys, it's a little different, probably a few more people say, Nolan, can I have 5 minutes of your time? Not just people like me, even, or other people, but can you roll with it? Does it get a little like, again, or how do you deal with it?
You know, we love it. Like, this is what we're here for. We come to Wisconsin for moments like this and opportunities like these. And like I said, like, we're not going to have our heads get too high or too low. Like, every game is a new opportunity and a new challenge. So going into every game, like, it's our Super Bowl, like I said, and just going in there, competing our butts off and knowing that each game it has its own importance. We love the attention, and we're not going to let it get to us. We're all good kids, and we're all humble enough to know that it's a long season. We got a lot more games to play, but like I said, this is why you come to Wisconsin.
We talked about earlier in the season, physical strength, the difference you that freshman year to now. Mm-hmm. But it's safe to say it goes beyond that. It's like handling the attention now, the intensity, the spotlight of these games. Do you feel like in that regard you've come a long way in a year or two?
Yeah, a lot of that credit goes to my coaches, giving me the confidence and kind of the mental side of the game. Obviously, this summer I worked a lot on my physical side, getting stronger and all that kind of stuff. But mentally was a whole nother side for me. And these coaches have done a great job with me, you know, going into this season, giving me the confidence that I needed to trust that my shot's falling and trust that I can do what I can do out there. So all the credit in the world goes to them. But it's been a lot of fun being able to work with Coach Steensma, especially. He was kind of our player development guy throughout the summer. So just working with him, picking his brain a little bit, knowing that he's been through the Big Ten season and all of this. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been a blessing.
What's the best piece of advice Gray's given you so far?
Best piece of advice, don't stop shooting. That's kind of the first time I've heard it this year. Like, just don't stop shooting. He doesn't care if I'm 0 for whatever. He said, don't stop shooting. Good things happen when you shoot the ball. So like I said, honestly, like, having that kind of confidence that my coaches can give me, it's a good feeling out there knowing I can play my game.
You're one of those guys, you have a really good-looking shot, so I can see where Steamer would say that. Do you know usually, but as soon as it leaves your hands, if it's down?
Yeah, I do. I do. I've repped it out enough to a point where I know if it's good or not. There's sometimes it'll hit back iron and go in and out, but for the most part, yeah, I trust it, and I know my shot well enough to know if it's going in or not. Yeah.
As you guys continue to push here in this race, you guys got a lot on your plate, obviously, being here, but do you scoreboard watch? Do you check out? Yeah, what's Sparty? What's Michigan doing tonight? Do you do that?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's control the controllables. We're going to go out there, and like I said, every game we're going to give our best ability and our best effort. But, yeah, Coach Gard always tells us control the controllables. Don't worry about the outside norms or whatever's going on up there. Things will take care of itself. Things will fall into place. So just do what we do, and everything happens for a reason, so we'll be good.
Tell you something that I observe. You live it, so there could be a difference. But people always ask, what's it like being around a team when they're playing really well as opposed to not? I said, you probably wouldn't know much difference one way or the other. The practices are competitive. Obviously, you're going to feel better about things. But am I seeing that right? You guys just kind of go about your deal no matter what happened a previous game?
Totally. This locker room doesn't change. We're still going to have fun with it no matter what. We're going to keep it lighthearted. And when we get on the court, we know it's going to be competitive. And we're going to go at each other, and we're going to try to get better and be prepared for the team that we have coming up. But when we step off the court, we're all brothers, and it's not going to change if we were on a losing streak or a winning streak. We're gonna have fun with each other. We're gonna laugh it up with each other. So that's why this team's so special. It's been a blast to just get to know these guys and have the relationships I do with these guys. It's been a blessing.
That's Badgers sophomore Nolan Winter out of Lakeville, Minnesota. We'll take a break. We'll turn our attention to Brian Butch, get his thoughts on the Saturday game against Oregon, and looking ahead to Washington and to Michigan State in the coming days as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Need reliable waste and recycling services? Choose LRS. Driven by service and dedicated to sustainability, we're your partner in efficient waste management. Need more? We also offer convenient dumpster rentals and clean portable restrooms for any event or project. Trust LRS for all your waste needs. Visit LRSRecycles.com to sign up for service. That's LRSRecycles.com.
Badger fans, basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
The Kohl Center, Camp Randall, the Fieldhouse. This is where the magic happens, where the best players lead with passion, fight with power, and win with exceptional performance. And now it's time we add another house to our Badger community. Meet Madison's newest powerhouse player, UW Health East Park Medical Center, home of top doctors and advanced treatments, all under one roof. So no matter the opponent, we're the place to defeat it. UW Health, remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, Badger fans, it's Matt's Matt for Brew Pub, lots of matzo pizza. Basketball season is here, and there's nothing that beats sitting and listening to a Badger game while enjoying a delicious Brew Pub pizza. Every game-winning shot and every sweet alley-oop deserves a pizza that's just as amazing. And you'll find that in a Brew Pub, lots of matzo pizza. Loaded with high-quality meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, Brew Pub pizzas are a swish of delish. Snag one today from your local grocery store or during home games in the concession stand at the Kohl Center.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here,
reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this, or this, or even this. Case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for Washington on Tuesday night, joined by my partner, Brian Butch, who knows a little something about playing in games in a championship chase. In the Badgers, Butchie played well for an extended period of time, but on Saturday, that second half, it happens, right? You see some things that you haven't seen that from these guys for a while. So you hope lessons learned and move forward.
Yeah, and I don't think this you know, Oregon game was a situation of the moment being too big. I think it was a situation of the perfect storm where everything kind of went wrong that could go wrong. And I played enough of them. You don't play in a lot of them, but you're playing enough of them where all of a sudden everything's out of sync. Defensively, you're not where you're supposed to be. Offensively, where your guys are normally, they're not there. You're missing free throws. You're missing layups. You're missing wide open shots. Now, part of that was, you know, self-inflicted by Wisconsin. They didn't get to the free throw line. They didn't attack the post. You got away from it. Part of it was because, you know, they let Oregon dictate what they wanted to do, and they were more aggressive. And when that happens, you have to have the response. But at no point did I think the moment was too big. Now you look at what's ahead with Washington, a team that has been playing better basketball, Still not great, but better basketball. So you got to get dialed in. You got to refocus. You got to put it behind you. I think that's the biggest challenge.
Let's go to the flip side of this, because we have seen Wisconsin teams, you've been a part of it, where you've been in Oregon's shoes, where it just looks like nothing's going right. You're going uphill, but you're running in mud. It's 12, 14 points, and then you get it to single digits. Take us in the mentality of that, what the Oregon guys are seeing.
Well, the Oregon guys are thrilled because they're like, we got them. Well, this is exactly where we want. And I remember there was a Big Ten tournament game against Michigan State where we're down big, and then all of a sudden it just starts going. It's my senior year, and it just starts. We're like, we're going to win the game. And we're still down 8 at that point.
And you rally without fouling.
Correct. Absolutely. Right? I mean, that. Right? And then yes. We got to the free throw line. And we, like, so you just, everything that you want to have happen, you see it happening. Like, when we were down 8, I'm like, we're good. Like, mm-hmm. we're this is everything we need. Like, this is where we want to be at. This is how we're good. We've weathered it. We're fine. We're trending right where we need to go. So, been in that part of it. And then I've been on the other side where you can't get the stop when you want to. You can't, like, it just piles up and piles up. And those are the ones where you sit in the locker room afterwards and you look around at each other and say, all right, boys, like, we got to forget it. Mm-hmm. Like, we did not do what we were supposed to do. We didn't play the way we wanted to play. Let's forget it. Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. Let's regroup.
You just don't want this to be your last game, and it's not. With 4 games left, that game you're talking about, the Big Ten tournament in the semis, sometimes you feel the momentum and then a play. Yeah. Mike Flowers, right? Pick 6 in that game. And you know, was it Neitzel who got a good look to knock it down? It's all coming back to me.
Yeah,
now.
But at
it's
no like, point did I think Neitzel was going to hit it just because it was all going against him. Yeah. Everything they were doing was going against them, and everything we were doing was working. And that's what you saw Saturday afternoon with Wisconsin-Oregon.
You know, this is why you watch the games. It's why they played them out, because you think even a Friday night, Michigan State, you know, Michigan get the new contract.
Absolutely.
They're riding high. The big crowd in Michigan State comes in and takes care of business in a rivalry game. It's just, again, that the latest example of the competitive nature of the college game in general and the Big Ten specifically.
And life in the Big Ten. I mean, I don't care. You can tell me the game's changed. You can tell me nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. I get it. But as far as the games itself, as far as conference play, that'll always be the same. Mm-hmm. You can tell me the games didn't change and NIL and this and that. But guess what? You still have to play the games. And that's the beautiful thing about college basketball. When it goes your way, and it's also a heartbreak when it doesn't go your way. And I think that's where that's at. That being said, when you look at where this team is, this team still has everything they want in front of them. Mm-hmm. They can go beat Michigan State. Now they're going to have to get some help. But Michigan's got a strong schedule ahead of them, too. You know, Michigan State has a strong schedule ahead of them. They can still do what they need to do, and I think that needs to be the focus. That needs to be the regroup part of it, of what this group is. And I have no doubt in my mind that that's what it will be, too. When you have veteran leadership in a locker room like Wisconsin has right now, you can reset very quickly. We've seen it. We haven't seen these. You know, we saw that 3-game losing streak, but then there was a big reset. This is a quick reset because it wasn't like they lost. Like, they played a good first half. They played a really good first half. They really played a good 30 minutes. They played a terrible 10 minutes. And that's how it played out.
Yeah, the weird part of this game, and I say weird, I think, you know, Badger fans are conditioned to see a certain method of a certain path to winning. But when we think of Wisconsin, 15 fast break points in the first half against an Oregon team that doesn't give up a ton, but only 4 in the second. That's where you've talked about. Greg mentioned it to us after the game. That aggressiveness just stopped.
Well, it stopped, and it stopped for 10 minutes. And Oregon's good enough where if you stop for 10 minutes, can't get away with it. And that's what we saw. And it really was. It's that simple. They have 0 free throws in the second half. And you know, that just, it's that, it's all of it goes against you. And, that's.
Well, you know, the other thing here, too, Butchie, is that you've got those teams that are ahead of Wisconsin, but you got teams clipping at your heels, too, with Maryland, UCLA, and they've got tiebreakers. So that, you know, you want to get as high in the standings as you can to get the double bye, but now it's a little bit of a dogfight now.
Well, it is a dogfight, but I also think that's as a competitor, as an athlete, you don't mind that. You don't want to put yourself in that situation. That being said, these guys – okay, it's more of a, we know where we're at, we know what needs to get done, and we're built for this. And I think that's the thing that, like, you can and that's what this program is built on, is, hey, we're built for this. This is nothing's been easy for any of those guys in that locker room. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been handed to any of those guys in that locker room. So why would this be? Let's buckle up and let's go.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that, because I've always, in my time here, not every year, but the majority of the years, I consider Wisconsin kind of that underdog role, kind of the off the radar, got to prove it. This team is a prime example of that. Now, you guys, 08, I thought, you guys are pretty good. You know, 07, obviously special, the 15 team here. But no, they're really good. But most of the time, it's like you're doing stuff that you all expect to do, but nobody else does. Right? So use that as fuel.
And that's what it is. And don't think that these guys don't know where they were picked and where they're like. And but that's why this one is like, all right, like, you want to doubt us again? Mm-hmm. You want to doubt us again? Great. Try yes. us. And I think that's the mentality of those guys in that locker room. I really do. Like, they know they played bad 10 minutes. It wasn't like they played a bad 40. They played bad 10. And they know that. You aren't hiding that from them. So now you regroup. You show up. I'll tell you one thing. I don't think I'd want to be there for practice on Sunday. You know, and I missed that one, and you missed the one on Monday. And now you get to play, though. The best thing for this group is to be able to get out there and play against Washington. I mean, that's going to be the best, you know, solution for any of this is, can we just play? Can we just play?
What's the G-rated version of a film session after that with the mistakes? My gut tells me that there could be it could be a raised voice, but sometimes there's nothing. They just show it, reshow it, reshow it. If it's a turnover, a costly play, how does that work?
Yeah, you know, with a team like this, and we've been on some pretty good ones here, when you get to February, there's not a lot of paint coming off the walls a whole lot. Now, you know, as a coach, you've got a choice. Do you want to walk in and absolutely just lay into them to reset them that way? Or do you want to make it a film session and show all the errors, but make it a film session of saying, hey, we're all right. Like, we know what we did. This isn't rocket science. It's not this and this. He goes, I can, you know, sometimes I've been in locker rooms, not here at Wisconsin, but different places, professionally, where coaches would just come in and say, hey, we don't even need to watch the film. Like, we know what happened. Let's go. Because it's later on in the season. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I don't think that'll be the case here, because I think there's some really good teaching points as far as passing, catching, how to handle when a team is being aggressive, what do you do. So I'm sure the film session will definitely, and it has happened, right? But I think it's more of the approach. I personally think Greg will take the approach of, okay, this is why we lost, and there's a 10-minute segment, and we're going to watch the 10 minutes, and we're going to see why you guys weren't aggressive. Take me through your thinking. Mm-hmm. Kind of more of a dialogue versus a, you know, versus a speech, right? Like, yeah. More of a open lines of communications.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. We touched on Washington. There are a fair amount of teams out there, you know, in college basketball with the big NIL packages, and this is a very transfer-heavy roster. Great Osabor, the most attention, making a lot of money. Individual talent is there, not unlike Indiana. This is an example. They just haven't put it together consistently yet.
Well, they haven't got the identity of Danny Sprinkle yet. And I think that's the thing that's kind of confusing with Osborne and what he's been able to do. But when you have so many transfers and you're trying to rebuild the culture, you're going to have that. And I think they've gotten better as the season's kind of gone along. And I think they're starting to take the identity of Danny Sprinkle. And, so that's where it's one of those where it's, okay, like, don't overlook. Don't overlook, and don't let them get confidence. And I think that's early on, and with what, you know, happened Saturday, I don't think there's going to be a lot of confidence-building opportunities for the Washington players.
Hope you're right about that. Let's take a look in the remaining couple of minutes here at the big picture at the top of the league. You and I talked about Michigan State a little bit in the pregame show before the Oregon game. It's a team that people view it as not maybe the most talented Tom Izzo team, no stars. You watch him in the Michigan game and you're thinking, Jace Richardson is a star in the making, and they're just good. And now they start, if they're going to start knocking down threes at a 40% clip like they did the other night, that's a problem.
Yeah, if they start knocking down threes, they're really tough. But the reason that they're so good is it's very simple. They're tough. They're tough-nosed. And I think that's what makes that Michigan State team so good. is they can go and they can win anywhere. Because when you're a tough-minded team, when you're a tough-nosed team like them, it doesn't matter where they play. And now if Richardson starts to kind of turn that corner, watch out. Watch out. I mean, because they're going to defend, they're going to rebound, they're going to play fast. This Michigan State team's playing so much faster. We haven't talked a lot of Michigan State because we haven't, you know, Wisconsin hasn't played them. The A.J. Hogard leaving changed the team because A.J. wasn't a point guard that could play fast per se. Like, I mean, fast Michigan State fast.
Right.
They're playing faster. So offensively, they're getting more easy buckets. And they're still tough-minded. And then when you play fast, now all of a sudden your wings are running and you get more opportunities. They're still operating the half court really well. Like, they're still doing all those things, but it's a little bit different than the last couple of teams that Tom's had.
So the latest big week ahead with Washington on Tuesday, then they go to East Lansing for a Sunday afternoon game against the Michigan State Spartans. He's Brian Butch, back to wrap things up on the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Supreme Court declined to fast-track a challenge by a GOP Supreme Court candidate who lost in November by 734 votes. And super PACs backed by Elon Musk are pouring millions into Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court race. After two recounts, incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs led by 734 votes, with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger, Judge Jefferson Griffin, claims as many as 65,000 of those voters were ineligible. February 17th, Griffin filed in appeals court, but the state elections board requested a fast track to the state Supreme Court. February 20th, that request was denied, and the case is likely to be heard later this year. The New York Times reported Elon Musk's America PAC is spending $1 million on GOP voter turnout for an April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Musk's Building America Future PAC has also booked another $1.5 million supporting former GOP State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. His opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, raised over $7.7 million so far with outside spending via donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The 2023 election of Justice Janet Prusiewicz resulted in fairer redistricting maps for the first time in over a decade. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old, and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Reservations today.
The Monday night standalone game will have Nebraska on the home floor against Michigan. Obviously a very important game in the Big Ten race, and otherwise as the Huskers try to enhance their resume. Two other games tomorrow besides the Badgers and Washington. You got Northwestern playing up at the Barn against Minnesota. Illinois trying to get back on track, getting the home floor against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Our coverage tomorrow will start at 7 o'clock. Tip time is 8 for the Badgers and the Washington Huskies. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at the Kohl Center on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and French President Macron meeting at the White House agree that the war in Ukraine must end. CBS's Ed O'Keefe reports.
So no firm resolution today, but an important meeting that had to happen, that Europe was eager to see happen. And Macron can go back to France and to Europe more broadly now and say, at least for now, the United States is still engaged.
The Office of Personnel Management is now telling government agency heads that their workers are not required to respond to an Elon Musk message demanding they explain their recent accomplishments or risk getting fired. CBS's Finn Gomez.
It's up to the agency heads to decide how to implement this Musk rule. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that anyone needs to resign afterwards.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition at a hospital in Rome, but as CBS's Chris Livesay reports, there has been some good news.
The Vatican says Pope Francis's condition has slightly improved, and the kidney issue discovered over the weekend is not a cause for concern.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.